Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back again to a special edition of the Snug Wrestling Podcast. We're recording on a Wednesday, not our typical recording day, which are usually Monday nights or Friday nights, but with Backlash coming up, we had to make some time to preview what to expect from Backlash, what we want to see, what we hope to see, and maybe see if we can guess some of these winners from these matches. And to help me, the Snug Wrestling crew is here with me, Mr. Blood Toxic, and Tommy. Thanks for being here tonight, you guys. I know this was a very short notice, but glad y'all can make it. How y'all doing?
Pretty great. Can't believe Backlash came this quick. Oh, wait, I can. They only did 2 weeks after Mania, and we have like four more PLEs in 9 weeks.
Oh, yeah, which absolutely fucking sucks.
Hooray. Does that suck, though?
No, but I feel like it's definitely going to oversaturate people. You got to think, 9 weeks, you're cramming how many Monday Night Raws and SmackDowns, NXTs, plus PLEs, Saturday Night Main Event, and potentially a draft all in 9 weeks? It's a lot.
How soon after is it, the next PLE after Backlash?
2 weeks.
Is it really? Which one?
I think it's Saturday Night Main Event after this.
Yeah.
That's not a PLE. That's a one-hour show.
No, that's a two-hour show, brother.
It's a glorified house show.
No, it's only an hour long.
No, it's 2 hours, brother. Last time they had like four matches or five matches on.
No.
It's 2 hours and it's only on Peacock.
Yeah.
It's a PLE.
I could have sworn it was only 1 hour long last time.
Nah, it was two, brother. Last time we had, I think, what was it, five matches on that card?
Yeah.
And then, not to mention the fact that they had title matches on it, too. So that means we kind of have to watch them in case they do a surprise change to keep people to tune into Saturday Night Main Event in the future. So,
yeah, you're right.
Hands busy on these prediction videos over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, Saturday Night's Main Event. Hold on. Let me. Okay, so we got like Backlash.
What,
Saturday Night's Main Event in a couple weeks here, May 24th. Battleground, May 25th? Oh, that's NXT.
Yeah, that's NXT.
Okay, then we got Worlds Collide, June 7th, and Money in the Bank, June 7th. So it's about the next. Well, yeah, it's Saturday Night's Main Event, but then we got pretty much a whole month. Actually, no.
No, because right after, remember, 9 weeks, brother. We're talking. They released the entire schedule spring to into summer.
Yeah. The middle of summer. Yeah, you're right. These are pretty cramped up, actually.
Yeah, it's a lot of content. We're going to have a lot of content on our hands.
Yeah.
I mean, good for us, but.
And then Night of Champions. Night of Champions is that same month of June 28th.
Yeah, they're cramped. And keep in mind, Crown Jewel is going to be in Perth, Australia this year. So, and that's coming up soon too.
Yeah.
So
I swear I'm going to sleep through it if it's in Perth.
It's. I mean, oh yeah. Well, you won't sleep through it, brother. They'll do it at 3 p.m. over here.
they also have one on the schedule that says WWE Evolution.
Yeah, they announced the next Evolution pay-per-view, the all-women's pay-per-view. This is the second one.
Oh, that's the all-women's one. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
People have been asking for it for years, so they finally decided to do it.
Evolution 2.0.
It's probably because Stephanie came back and pushed for it, but it's 9 weeks, but there's a lot of shit they're cramming in there. You got to wonder, how many of these dates is John Cena working too?
Yeah, that's
crazy.
Yeah,
because we only have, like, what, like 27, 26 left?
Like 27, he's about to be at 26 this Saturday. So
damn.
Unless he shows up on Friday.
That's appearances, not matches.
Yeah.
So if he's in more feuds, you got to think every time he comes in to build up a feud, the promo, there goes another appearance. And you got to go all the way to December. So at some point, he's going to be off our screens for 2-3 months to save some of those appearances towards his final 2-3 months. So.
We have a fun question on the comments by Mark Steven. Pierce, fantasy match, who wins? The Wild Samoans versus 3 Minute Warning.
Final, the Samoans, brother.
Wild Samoans.
So you're putting up Samoans up against Samoans. Okay.
The Wild Samoans. Yeah, but it's a good question. It's a good question.
The Wild Samoans.
Yeah, they're a little bit meaner. A little bit meaner.
Yeah, they're
so here's the question here. The unspoken rule of never giving a Samoan a headbutt because it basically does nothing. What does it do when a Samoan headbutts another Samoan? Does it actually work?
Explosion.
No, it's basically like
concussion.
Someone who's Samoan adjacent. So
that sounds fucking gross, actually.
That does.
The fuck is that?
I'll tell you guys off camera about the time my ex took a nice pair of scissors and me with him about 11 years ago. And old Uncle Blood used that in self-defense. She nice has these nice shiny metal plates in her cheeks now. So,
oh, yeah. Man. All right, let's talk about wrestling.
So again, the Wild Samoans.
All right. Let's start off with the John Cena versus Randy Orton match. And this is for the Undisputed WWE Championship. A lot of people, they're excited for the hype. They're excited for the buildup. When it comes to the match itself, people are expecting a certain type of slower pace match. You know, these two are veterans. They're older guys. What do you guys expect to see? And who do you guys think is going to win? I honestly, I mean, at first I was kind of 50-50 because Randy Orton has been built greatly as of late. It's kind of hard to defeat Randy Orton because of the momentum he has going into Backlash. But it's John Cena. He just won the title, like we talked about, very, very recently. I don't see John Cena losing it to Randy Orton, unfortunately. I'm going to have to go with John Cena, but Mr. Blood, what do you think is going to go down here in this match?
I definitely have Cena retaining here because it'd be way too soon to take the title off him. They're really trying to build that whole last real champion thing, and you can't build it if you cut the legs out from under it 2.5 or so weeks to 3 weeks after he wins it. As far as I'm concerned, it's definitely going to be John Cena. I do agree with the sentiment that this is going to be a slower-paced match because every match we've ever seen Randy and John have has been that slow, methodical pace because that's the pace Randy wrestles the best at. And John's older, and he admitted on a live stream I think last week or the week before, he's like, look, I always said, the moment I get a step slower, I feel a little bit movement slower is when I'm going to hang it up. And, you know, what's happening here is John is starting to feel a little slower. He worked that slow, methodical pace against Cody at Mania. And Randy has always worked a slow, methodical pace. It's one of the reasons he looks so graceful in the ring because he takes his time. But he still takes his time inside of a 13-minute match. So with these two, one of the biggest complaints people used to have about their feuds back in the day, especially their last couple feuds, like around 2010 to 2013 when they were doing the unified belts, in that ladder match, people were sick and tired of seeing these guys feud because their matches apparently were always boring to people because of that slow, methodical pace. I think that if this match happens Saturday, which it is, so it's not if I think it happens, it's when it happens, I think it should not go on last because you do not want to send the fans home with what they're going to feel is boring to watch at home. Because you have the IWC, the Internet Wrestling Community, that's going to shit all over it for being slow and methodical like they did it the same exact way with Cody versus Cena at Mania. They shit all over it for being too slow and boring. That was the main argument and complaint. I think that match cannot go on last. I think put it on first or in the middle. And I think Cena's got to win here. But I would honestly put – I would put – either that, I think I'd put the United States title match on last, to be honest, guys.
That's a good point. Shout out to Dizave Fuego. I forgot to mention that this is happening in St. Louis, guys. This is in Randy Orton's hometown. So Dizave believes that this match is definitely going to be on last. That's a good point. Toxic, let's go with you.
I was stuck originally on who I wanted to win because I had the whole argument, oh, John Cena just won the title. No way they're gonna take it off of him so soon. But then we figured out that Randy is next up for John, and I'm like, this changes my thought. I want Randy to win because, one, screw John Cena. Two, I'm just not interested in the last round champion. I'm just not interested in it. And Randy's been back since, what, 2023? I feel it's about time you put another title on him. He's looking, I mean, not to say that Randy's boring, because he is not. But I would like to see him with some gold around his waist. Am I right or am I wrong?
Who, Randy?
Yeah, Randy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Randy, definitely. I think, oh, man, he's been in such a good run, man. I definitely would love to see Randy with some gold. Tommy, you're up.
So, as much as I would love to say, and I originally said this, that Cena was going to have a 20-day reign, as much as I would love to reiterate that, I have had time within the past 2 weeks to fully think about this. As much as I would want him to, that's not going to happen. Eventually, he will absolutely have the 15th world title reign. He absolutely will at some point. But I do not think it is going to happen in St. Louis. Especially if Triple H is still on this thing of, oh, Cena is going to ruin wrestling for all of us. If that's fully going to happen, Cena cannot have a title reign that is only 20 days long. There's just no way.
Yeah, absolutely. BT, welcome. Want to hear your predictions here for John Cena versus Randy Orton.
All right, let's get straight into it. Good to be here. I think Cena is winning without a shadow of a doubt. I would love to see Randy Orton with some gold around his waist, but unfortunately, the timing of it just isn't right. Cena, yeah, this character stick of his is starting to get a bit stale, in my opinion. It's getting a bit annoying with this whole, I'm going to be the last real champion. And, like, we get it. We get it. You were in an abusive relationship with the fans for 25 years. We understand that. But you got to understand, you're not the only wrestler that's had an abusive relationship with these fans. There's a lot of wrestlers that have been at least, like, say, a really good babyface, and then they just get booed out of the stadium. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Roman Reigns was one of those big examples. And then what happens? He announces his leukemia, and everybody just starts being like, oh, this is the savior, and you know what I mean? So he's not the only one. He's not the only one. But anyway, in my opinion, I think John Cena wins this without a shadow of a doubt. Would love to see Randy Orton win, but unfortunately, we can see that John Cena is winning this.
Yeah, we can. I think it's safe to say, I think the safest bet is John Cena has to win this, but AR15 on the comments. He brings up a good point. Also, he believes that Randy Orton could still win it, but as a DQ. And I think that also makes sense because of the way that Randy Orton has been built. I know it's John Cena, and I know if anyone should beat Randy or stop Randy, it could be John Cena. But I just feel like Randy Orton, he's just, I don't think you can beat him at Backlash in his hometown like that. I really think, I don't know, how do you guys feel about having like some type of fuck finish or something happen, maybe an interference? Do you guys think we can see an interference that will kind of protect not just Randy, but John Cena also?
I don't think that. I think that if you have that fucked up finish, fine. It can't be the main event then, like I said before. You can't send the fans home like that on a bullshit DQ finish, because that's what Vince would do. You know? And what a slap in the face. John's first title defense ends in a DQ.
He's a heel.
He's a heel, but Randy's the hometown hero. It'll piss off the whole hometown crowd. You can't have it go last. You can do the DQ finish. It can't be the main event if that's how you're going to leave him. It's about how you leave him.
But wouldn't that kind of play into what John Cena has been saying, that he wants to ruin wrestling?
He may want to ruin wrestling, but the booking should still be smarter than that. Because it's too easy. It's too much of a cop-out finish to have the match end in a DQ. It's a cop-out because Vince was notorious for copping out with DQ finishes all the time. I mean, in the beginning of Triple H's booking run, he was notorious for letting matches end in roll-ups. You remember all those roll-up finishes we had that went on forever? Vince was known for DQ finishing his way out of a corner. Triple H has got to be a smarter booker than that. If you don't want to book yourself into a corner, then don't book yourself into a corner. But if you book yourself into a corner, don't take a bullshit way out of the corner. Just so be smarter and don't trap yourself in the corner.
So you think John Cena beats Randy clean 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring?
I don't think it's clean. I think it's by bullshit ref bump or ref distracted. He does something, low blows Randy, because low blowing seems to be John's thing right now. Pause. Resume. And as far as it's concerned, I think it in some way like that. Ref bump, fucked up finish, Travis Scott, please God no. But at the same time, I definitely think it ends with a bullshit cheat win, a heel win, but it can't be a DQ finish. Let him beat Randy, but don't let it be clean, but don't let it be DQ. There's a million ways you can do that.
Well, we still got SmackDown left because we're recording on a Wednesday. So depending on what we see on Friday night, SmackDown go down between either, I think John Cena's scheduled to be at this SmackDown, isn't he? Do we know?
Okay. I'm not exactly sure, honestly.
Because last week we just saw Randy Orton, so I don't think we'll see just Randy Orton. Maybe we'll get a John Cena video package or something. AR15 says yes. So John Cena will be on SmackDown this Friday, most likely. I'm taking AR15's word for it.
So my quick thoughts on the possible DQ thing. I'm with Blood on this. If that happens, it cannot go on last. Like, I get it. Randy is the hometown hero. You would expect it to go on last. Which brings me to this point. It would kind of be a really fucked up way to run back a feud that goes back years. A match that we have been wanting since... that we have wanted this match again for quite a while. It is one of the first matches that popped into everybody's head when this farewell tour was even announced, before he even turned heel. This was one of the first matches that popped into all of our heads.
Mm-hmm.
And if it ends in DQ, I'm afraid that it might look back at all of those feuds and just go, what the hell were these for then?
And to second that really quick, I agree with Tommy's assertion there for the simple grounds of we've only got like 26 to 27 John Cena dates left. You can't imagine they're running back any feuds he's got in his closing years more than one match per each person he's running it with. Like, I can't see him running it back with Randy at Saturday night's main event or at Money in the Bank or whatever. Okay, because then you've got to build to that again. We get more promos, more appearances. That list ticks down. You've got to save some stuff for the fall because that's leading into the end. So you're going to want as many open dates as possible October, November, December. So you can't just be having them rematch people even from bullshit finishes. So they have to be smart about how they utilize his appearances. And I don't think ending it with a DQ is smart because then it opens it up for Randy to go, I want a rematch. Okay, well, now we're going to run it back again to the next PLE. Here's another promo and then another match. That's two more appearances just to run it back with the same guy. When he could work with Austin Theory again, he could work with CM Punk, he could work with here. You got to imagine he's going to run it back with Cody before the end of the year. So, I mean, how much of this time are you trying to get rid of?
Well, ending it in a DQ is not always such a bad thing because that can mean anything can happen here, you guys. Like, I don't know, like, the possibility, like, especially after what we saw on Monday Night Raw, like, the way that they just fucking booked a crazy-ass match between Jey Uso, Seth Rollins. You guys also mentioned, you know, the John Cena appearances are, you know, they're numbered. So, like, I can see them doing some crazy shit in this match that just, like, completely makes people forget about what the, like, it was a DQ and just we're just left completely shocked of the outcome. Like, I think there's going to be way more to this than just, okay, John Cena beat Randy Orton. All right, on to the next one. At least that's what I'm hoping for.
I hope you're right. If they go with the DQ, I hope you're right. But if they don't have something like that in the bag, you know, Cody versus John Cena WrestleMania 41 as example A, and it's just fucking Travis Scott walking his candy ass out there, then keep that shit and make it just a dirty win instead of a clean win or a DQ finish and find another way to get there if you don't have something better in the bag to justify that DQ finish. That's all I'm saying. But if they want to do the DQ finish, overbook it to where I do forget. Because I know the first thing I'll hear on Wrestle Talk and What Culture the next morning is, DQ finish, that was kind of naft, wasn't it? You know, like I know it's the first thing I'll hear. And you know the IWC is going to be up in arms about it if it happens.
I just don't think you can beat Randy Orton just yet. Not just in his hometown, but in general. But then you add the fact that they're in his hometown. Randy Orton, he's just been...
The only way you can beat him is with a dirty finish. Because it reinforces the heel hate for John. He leaves with the heat. But then Randy still gets the standing ovation and applause when he gets back up after the match ends and John leaves the ring and he gets his farewell goodbye. Kind of like Drew McIntyre when he lost in Cardiff. So, you know, there's a way to do this that still sends people home happy, but your angle is still intact. But we'll see.
Yeah. The unfortunate thing is we pretty much all agree here that Randy Orton will not be walking out with the Undisputed Championship. I think that's safe to say.
Except for me.
Except for Toxic, but Toxic, he sniffs a lot of Skittles. I don't know. All right, moving on to everyone's favorite match of the night. Becky Lynch versus Lyra Valkyrie for the WWE Women's Intercontinental Championship. Toxic, you're up first for this one. I know you've been dying to see this one. What do you
actually
think is going
to
happen?
No, I haven't been dying to see it. I'm actually, I think this might be the bathroom match for every single one. Am I right? Am I wrong? I honestly really don't care for this, but I think it's kind of obvious who has to win. I mean, but not really. You could have Lyra win, as Becky puts Lyra over more than Lyra kind of already is. Or you can just continue the Becky Hogan allegations and have Becky win. I really don't care for this, but I'm either or. I don't care.
Gotcha.
Here's mine on this. Who's next? If Lyra wins, who's next? If Becky wins, who's next? Because with Lyra, even while she's still holding it, has she really defended it? Like, other than...
Like, Dakota and exactly. Ivy. Those are the only two I remember.
What was doing? If you're only listening to this, he put up like two, three times.
And she's held it for how long?
And she has held it for quite a bit. So with this, one question remains. Doesn't matter who wins, who's next? Because overall, this mid-card division with both of these women's titles has been mediocre at best. It has not been good whatsoever. It just feels like they were looking at what we all wanted and said, here, we don't have a plan for it yet, but here you go. That's pretty much it. It's like, here are these women's titles that you wanted. We don't know what to do with them yet, but you have them. You have them now. I'm going Becky to win this. I'm going Becky. Don't really care about this match. Although Lyra did do a really damn good promo on Monday. I will say that. But I do not think she's retaining. I think Becky Hogan is truly going to be real.
Mm-hmm. All right, BT, time to talk about your favorite match of the night. And remember, be nice.
Oh, my goodness gracious me. It's very hard to be nice when you listen to all the bullshit that the people that you follow on TikTok has to say about this shit, including a transgender who is a big Becky Lynch fan who, on a recent interview that Becky Lynch was on. I don't know the full context to it, but apparently the way this person summed it up, they basically said that Becky Lynch basically came on and said that she shouldn't have to put anybody over at the age that she's at. And they agree with her. I fucking don't. Because she's a legend in this business. Like, all the other legends are supposed to put people over. And they started going on like, you rarely see men putting other men over. Like other men that are legends putting over younger men that are making it in the business. And I'm like, Austin Theory versus John Cena, WrestleMania 39. John Cena's a decorated legend. John Cena's a decorated legend, puts Austin Theory over, even though it was a failed experiment. Like, what? Like, I did not get that at all. Like, okay, I'm getting off track. Anyway, I really don't give a fuck who wins this. I just want the shit to be over. But if I had to pick a winner, unfortunately, it's got to be Becky Hogan. It's got to be Becky Hogan. And I know Courtney from fucking TikTok, if she bumps into one of our clips and hears this shit, she's going to lose it. She's going to lose it.
I'm going to tag her in it.
Oh, bro. But it, from what we've been hearing about her coming up with the whole plot and how, like, she thought that winning the tag titles at WrestleMania and then losing it the next night a needless thing to happen was the only way to get Lyra over? Are you kidding? Just so Lyra can cut good promos and have what chance chanted over the top of them? Bruh. But yeah, unfortunately, I'm gonna go for Becky in this one. But I would love to see Lyra win this. I would love to see that. But Tommy's right. Who's next after this whole thing? Who is next? Seriously.
Really quick before I start, I'd just like to state for the record, BT by no means means anything negative in a connotation against transgender people. Snug Wrestling does not condone any negative connotation against transgender people. For those watching who may have felt offended or anything, I just want to put that out there. We do not condone any LGBTQIA hate, nor do we despair against your gender identity nor your sexual identity. But really quickly, it's got to be Becky. And here's the problem. If they had built Lyra up better over the last year since Becky's absence, people would be pulling for Lyra to win. But you saw in that promo exchange, and I went back and watched the promo like twice. You know what? On the third watch, I realized Lyra didn't cut a great promo. She cut a decent promo with a lot of good one-liners. And there's the difference. A great promo is the pipe bomb. You know, a great promo is what Pat McAfee just cut. You know, it was decent with good one-liners and some zingers. And Becky just pulled out the wrong analogy for garbage and recycling. Even though it made sense, it was a pretty roundabout way of getting to the point, which is the only reason Lyra looked better by comparison in their exchange. But I definitely say Becky has to win. Because if they had spent a year making Lyra important and cared enough, she'd have the fanfare to be like, woohoo, we want Lyra, let's go Lyra, down with Becky. But they didn't. So if you noticed in that promo exchange this past Monday, they were still trying to cheer Becky, and she kept trying to get the cheap heat. Because just like the last time Becky turned heel, nobody's buying it. Because It's hard to root against Becky when she's so beloved by fans, just like it's so hard for people to cheer Charlotte because she is so dang controversial with fans. And it's to this credit, you want to make Becky a heel? Fine, make Becky a heel. You're not going to get people to hate her because she's going to be what Bron Breakker is, a cool heel. And what Seth Rollins is. They won't boost Seth either. He's a cool heel. If CM Punk turned heel tomorrow, same thing. We're in that era where it's not easy to keep real heat on heels unless it's go-away heat or they just don't care about you. But in this scenario, who is next? I think the mistake here comes back to getting rid of Dakota Kai and getting rid of Cora Jade, people that you could have brought up to the main roster and added to that division. Okay, you could have brought Shotzi back up and had her in that division. Say what you will about her in-ring career. She was on the main roster prior to this. She was in War Games on the team that won. She has credentials on the main roster. Jakara Jackson could have got moved up, could have been in this division. You know who needs to be in this division? Who should have been in this division? Shayna Baszler could have really gotten reinvigorated by this division. Could have helped put it on the map if they had let her be the badass that she actually legitimately is. In real life, that woman is a beast for real. Shoot, not kayfabe. Okay? You could have, if you ask me, you know who really needs to be next? Zoe fucking Stark. Zoe Stark needs to be next. Zoe Stark or Dakota Kai are the main two people who should have won that belt before Lyra got her paws on it. It should have been one of those two women. In my humble opinion, I don't think I'm wrong here either. Dakota had waited so long, and Zoe has been underrated for so long and put in so much work with Tiffany Stratton and Becky Lynch. They put her on a bit of a singles run before they paired her with Pure Fusion Collective. She was on her own division. She should have been one of the main people in this division helping build it up because of her in-ring ability and her actual technical prowess. This is a workhorse title. That is a workhorse wrestler. So was Shayna when they were booking her right. Okay? This division could have had so many problems solved had they not just done what Tommy said, which is the truth. You guys keep asking about women's mid-card titles. Here you go. Will you shut up now because we gave them to you? And they're in your new 2K25 game. Hey, why are you so mad? We gave you what you wanted, right? We gave it to you. We didn't have any plans, but we gave it to you. You know what I'm saying? Had they actually found a fundamental way to make this division interesting, this feud would be great right now. People would genuinely care about this. But I'm a toxic. This is the piss break match. And I hate saying that because this is not the Divas era anymore. These women are two incredibly talented performers. Becky is fantastic. Lyra is fantastic. This match should be fantastic. We should be looking forward to this. We really should be. And that's the aggravating part. None of us are. So it has to be Becky, but it's a damn shame that it has to be Becky. That's what's upsetting about this to everybody. Because it could have been any one of these other women. You know what? I would have really enjoyed Lyra versus Zoe. Run Bayley back for that IC title. Would have been a killer match. But I digress. That's why this whole division sucks. That's why this match is the least anticipated on everybody's bingo card. Because they have treated this division with disrespect for almost a year now. And it's kind of bullshit. And it's a slap in the face to the women in that division and to the fans who begged for that title in the first place.
The only way I'm actually going to give a shit about this match is if Lyra Valkyrie actually wins. Unlike all of you guys, I'm going to have to go with Lyra Valkyrie because, like you guys mentioned before, she's only defended a handful of times versus people like Ivy Nile. Or I think she defended against Bayley at one point, which that was a great, you know, that's something good to put under your belt for Lyra Valkyrie. You defeated Bayley of all people. But I think if Lyra defeats a heel Becky Lynch, I think it would put her over in an even bigger way. And I just don't want to see Becky Lynch walk around, not just as a heel, but as a heel with the Intercontinental Championship. That's just going to scream go away heat for me. Not even like, hey, like, oh, she's so good as a heel. Oh, look at her. No, like as like, like I don't want to see it. I just don't want to see it.
But that might kind of be the point there, Snug. If you have Becky win, because they know that the biggest fight they had with her last heel turn was they could not get fans to boo her. So they were forced to turn her back face. If you piss them off so bad that they genuinely are sick of her, you'll finally get the reaction of her that you're actually hoping for. So, I mean, and honestly, why would you turn her heel if it was going to fail the first match she has as a heel? Same thing with John Cena. You couldn't turn him heel if you were going to have him lose to Cody.
I just can't stand her. I just can't stand Becky Lynch.
And you're fine, and you're completely within your right to. But despite how we feel about them, we have to look at it logically. They turn Cena heel. That automatically kind of cemented. He has to win at Mania. Otherwise, what was the point? She just turned heel on Lyra 2 weeks ago. If it doesn't pay off her first match against her, what was the point? BT?
You put Lyra Valkyrie over in a bigger way. She needs the win to for the people to take her like as a serious champion. She needs to be Becky Lynch. She needs the win more than Becky Lynch does.
I agree with you 100%. The problem is, if they wanted her to be taken seriously as a champion, they should have started doing that 7 months ago.
It's not too late. She's still the champion.
I think it's not that it's never too late, but I think it's past the point where it's going to do anything or help her at all.
Well, I think I'm going to say Lyra's going to win and Bayley's going to come back. And then we're going to see a non-title feud between Bayley and Becky Lynch. If everything that Becky Lynch is saying is true within story, that she was the one that took out Bayley, Bayley has to come back and get her revenge on Becky Lynch. So why not? Let's run that back. Becky Lynch versus Bayley. And hopefully, I don't know.
I think that's the plan there, brother. I think the plan is to put the title on Becky so she can feud with Bayley over it to really put eyes on that title.
No.
I think that's the point.
They need to keep that belt away from Becky as far as possible.
I know you don't want to see it, but what's a higher selling marquee match? A horsewoman versus a horsewoman? Legend versus legend? Grand Slam champion versus Grand Slam champion? Or Lyra Valkyria versus Bayley? Or Lyra Valkyria versus Becky too?
It doesn't have to involve Lyra Valkyria. No, just Bayley versus Becky, non-title. Let's make this a grudge feud, or you know, let's Bayley is pissed off already. Bayley, right. She has, you know, she cut that promo on Chris Van Vliet. She's, you know, she's being more herself. She's being more intense, more honest versus a Becky who's just, you know, just a fucking nasty heel. Like, let's get these two together. Let's get them to cut fucking shoot promos on each other. They know each other so well. They can have a good feud without the title. Lyra goes over. She gets the win that she needs. Bayley gets her revenge on Becky. That's what I want to see.
Okay, but then the question remains at the end of this match. If Lyra goes over, who's next?
I haven't thought about that yet. I don't know.
But you know they have.
I mean, I can't think of any names right now off the top of my head, but they have so many people in that women's roster that Lyra can feud with.
BT?
It just froze for me for a second. This is one of the big reasons why I believe that SmackDown has been the better show to watch, because they actually have something for their mid-card division. As when it comes to the US title, the Women's United States title, some parts of the Women's United States title, but especially the tag team division. It is stacked, that tag team division.
Is it?
On SmackDown. It is. Like it who? Is. Fucking Fraxium, Gargano, and Ciampa, the champions in the Street Profits.
I thought you were talking about the women's tag team division. I was like, what?
I forgot that existed.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Bruh.
This is why the women's tag titles need to go away, because we keep forgetting they exist.
Yeah, exactly. All
right.
But yeah, apart from the stuff that the women are doing on, like with the tag titles, there's a lot of shit on SmackDown that they're doing, like within the mid card division, that has been infinitely better than what they've been doing on Raw, in my opinion. It's been the more entertaining show in my eyes, and that's one of the reasons why. But it's the women that have been booked horribly. And we've been saying it since the booking to WrestleMania. When is the bullshit booking going to fucking end? Because it doesn't look like it is. You know what I mean? Like, I was listening to one of our episodes just last night, and we were talking about the Rhea, Bianca, and Io triple threat match, the build-up to it. And I was just thinking about, we should have taken a bit of, like, a little lesson from that booking, like how bullshit that was. But it turns out we've fucking learned nothing. We've learned nothing over the fucking years, and it's really sad. And one of the things that Mr. Blood had said in that video was that it's insulting to the women who work so hard and have to make a sandwich out of this, like, salad dressing, or it was some analogy like that. But
chicken salad into chicken shit.
Chicken shit into chicken salad, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
America!
But yeah, that... This is why I believe that SmackDown has been the better show to watch, in my opinion, because of the mid-card stuff. So,
fair enough. I just realized we have a few comments on the Instagram page. My bad, y'all. I didn't see them, but shout out to the Mike Omega. He's a friend of the show. He's been on the show a few times also. He believes Bayley runs in, costs Becky the match. And when it comes to the women's tag team division, Mike says Liv and Raquel are dropping when Liv comes back. So those are, I think Mike agrees with me. Thank you, Mike, for not leaving me hanging like these motherfuckers over here. But let's move on to the next match, because we got Gunther versus Pat McAfee.